See you. Let's take our Bibles and open up to Psalms chapter 5. We're continuing walking through this series, Prayers of the Bible. We've gone with 3 and last week 4, and now we're here in 5. And both all these prayers, you know, they carry the same type of message. It's deliverance, but then it's an execution of the knowledge that God will deliver. I was answering a Bible question today, one of the two questions I'm hoping to record tomorrow, and one of the questions was, how do we avoid double-mindedness and having doubts? And it's a good question, because, you know, we're living in a world where you have to understand, when people say you can have peace and prosperity, you have to understand who that peace and prosperity is with, okay? It's not peace and prosperity with the world. The world is against you, because you're taking a stand for God. As a matter of fact, the more that you stand for the Lord, for godly principles, for the Bible, the more suffering and persecution you are going to endure, because this world wants to snuff you out. And we have to make sure that there's a very good understanding that peace with the world and peace with God are not equal. But we can have peace with God, and we can have prosperity in Him. And the way that we do that, and this is part of the answer that I gave in that question, is it's more than just saying, God, I believe your promises. Double-mindedness is saying or believing one thing, but your actions don't line up. It's only believing God partly. You may believe that these promises are true, but your actions run behind it and say, just in case, I'm going to do these things, you know? Just in case these things don't happen, I'm going to make sure that I've set myself up. And a lot of people are being trained right now in a name-it-claim-it environment to think that God is going to give them worldly blessings in exchange for their discipline. It's not always a guarantee. Listen, I pray for $1 million. I still haven't gotten it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's not what the Lord wants for me in this moment. But we are to be called into content. We are to be content now with what we have. And as we look in these 3 psalms that we're looking at right in a row, we looked at 4 last week and 3 the week before, we're seeing a pattern. This one goes a little bit further. It's actually broken into 3 different categories. If you're taking notes, I'd like you to look at this pattern. We're in Psalms chapter 5. If you're using a church loaned Bible, it's on page 601. The first breakdown here is verses 1 through 3, where David gives a prayer to be heard. And we'll look at that. The second breakdown here is through verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, which is a praise for God's holiness, and there's a comparison of God's holiness with man's methods. And then, of course, we have verses 8 through 12, which wraps up the chapter, and it's a prayer for guidance with a prayer against God's enemies. Now, it's very important to understand that imprecatory prayers, prayers that are against God's enemies, prayers that pray for the destruction of others, they're not unbiblical. Many times people will say, well, when the psalmists were writing these things, they were writing them out of anger and they went too far. Folks, that doesn't jive with 2 Timothy 3:16 that says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is something that we can learn in regards to prayers against those who are set against evil. Now, you and I, we're probably not going to run into the most evil people in the world, but they do exist. They do exist. One of the things that is constantly being exposed right now is this great cover-up on human trafficking. It's happening in our border. It's happening all around the world. People are being sold as sex slaves. Children are being taken out of the arms of parents and put into horrible practices. It's been exposed. It's a known thing. Many people choose not to believe it, but it's happening. It's not the subplot of a Hollywood movie. These things are going on, and there are people in the world who will not trust Christ. They will not believe on Christ, and that is not my fault, that is not your fault. They have made that decision. I believe God knows who those individuals are, and they are set against the people of God. They are set against Him. And so as we walk through this life, we need to know the things that are evil, the things that are against God, they are exactly that. They are against God, and they should be destroyed, and they will be destroyed. They will. And it is not for you and me to revel in the destruction. It is for you and me to do what we can to reach the people who could be influenced by them. Reach them for the Lord first. These things are important. But David doesn't shy away in his prayer for guidance about the destruction of the enemies of God. We'll start there in verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll talk a little bit. The first verse says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." That word meditation is interesting. It's kind of been hijacked, but the proper definition here is musings. These are ponderings. These are requests in which David is making through prayer. Look at verse 2. "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember growing up as a kid watching cartoons, and you'd get the ad for Frosted Flakes. And you know my boy Tony Tiger? He's out there and he's doing all the fun things, and he's roller skating, and he's on the half pipe doing all these tricks, and he's all energized and ready to go for the day. And at the end of the commercial, you see the breakfast table is set, right? And it's got the big old bowl of Frosted Flakes, and it's got the box in the back, and it has a tall glass of orange juice and a slice of bread and maybe a piece of fruit. And at the end, it always says, "Frosted Flakes, a part of a well-balanced breakfast." Oh, please. Oh, please. Are you for real? You know how much sugar is in the cereal alone? You smack the OJ on that, and then you got the banana too? Frosted Flakes, a part of a clear path for diabetes, is what it should say. I just remember that, and I remember thinking, like, as a kid, I want Frosted Flakes. I mean, that's what that commercial was supposed to do, and you nag your parents about it. You want a part of a balanced day. It starts with prayer. It has to start with prayer. This is a wonderful practice that you can learn to discipline yourself in. As you wake up in the morning, instead of putting on music or a podcast or, you know, just, you know, enjoying your coffee outside, incorporate prayer into that. Pray on your way to work. Keep your eyes open. But pray as you are going through your day. Learn to discipline your mind to prayer. This is what we talked about in the beginning. You need to show your faith, not to be saved, but in order for the Lord to bless you where you are now. And how are we expected to reach people if we're not talking about our faith? Praise God for Marjorie and the work that she has done in her family's life. For Louis Hernandez, who leads up soul winning every single week. For the ministry of the college and ranch and Awana. And all the things that this church does to reach souls. You know, if we all of a sudden said, you know what, Wednesday night, not enough people coming, and, you know, we could save some money by not running the facilities, we'll just shut it down and, you know, everyone will pray on their own. I told you, I think this is the most important service that we hold. Yes, I know Sunday mornings are designed to reach people, but I think right here we can pray for the people we're going to reach on Sunday. We can pray for those things. Prayer here is what David, it is the vessel in which he puts all his requests. Let's read it again. "Give ear to my words," which are in his prayer. "Consider my meditation, my musings, my ponderings," even his complaints, as you'll see later, about the wicked. "The voice of his cry," it's a personal thing, "unto God, which is his King." Isn't it wonderful to know that you are on the side of the King? Folks, that's where you want to be. I'm talking about some worldly power in which when Jesus returns, you ever read in Revelation 19, when the Lord comes back, and every eye is going to see him, and every mouth will be stopped, and the word will depart from his mouth, and people will be destroyed who are in opposition to him. And he will touch down on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to rule and reign for that 1,000 years. And then we have a new heaven and a new earth. Sign me up for that side. I want that side. Oh, but you can have all the fun stuff here on earth. Have you heard of this thing called a Tesla? Have you heard of this thing called money? Money, right? Let me tell you about Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying? All these things that at the end of the day, they're going to be gone. I want to be on the Lord's side. And David's petitions are wrapped up in prayer to the king. Verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. I like this practice of looking up in the sky. Of course, at appropriate times, I don't want to do it while I'm going 65 down 275. But I like looking up in the sky, hoping that the time that I'm looking up, I hear that trumpet, and we're out of here. But folks, we don't have to look in front of us or have our heads down. We can look up, knowing that God hears us in our prayers. So David prefaces his prayer to be heard. Lord, hear me. I'm going to deliver my prayer to you in the morning. My King, my God. Verse 4 through 7 praises God for his holiness and contrasts that with man's methods. Look what it says. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. You have to remember that there were gods running around at this time, little g gods. And listen, I don't think that there's numerous gods that are sub-tier gods and there's one big one. No, there's only one. That's why he's called the self-existent one. There's no others. There's no other gods that weren't as good. Those are all demonic influences and creations of men. But you realize Molech, you realize Ashtaroth and Chemoth and all these different gods and their temple worship and their mother-son religion form. There's a book in the Bible, or excuse me, in the bookstore that talks about the religion of Babylon. I don't remember the author, but he's my kind of author because he uses pictures. And every page has really cool graphics and really good descriptions of all of these different world religions that tried to copy from God or take things and twist it and elevating the mother element over the father element and the one son and all these different things, trying to just replicate what God has done. And they all hath pleasure in wickedness. Look at the Greek gods. Look at those guys. They were all perfect, huh? They had no problems. No, Greek mythology is littered with wickedness. The whole thing is wicked, okay? God does not have pleasure in that. In his presence, there is no wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Isn't it wonderful to read verses like this and also know within God it is true, for God so loved the world? I love that God's wrath towards wickedness and his intolerance for evil and his punishment against evildoers is not the only part of him. He is all love as well, and he is patient. Boy, have you ever had to be patient? I'm sure there's been moments where you have had to be patient and you decided, that's it, and you're done. Listen, there's coming a moment where that's going to happen with the Lord. And it won't be out of anger or anything unrighteous on his part. But look at the love that he demonstrates to the lost. He laid it all on his son for you and me. It's overwhelming when we dwell on it properly. But it's not a part of his routine to have wickedness. It's not a part of his routine to allow evil to dwell with him. He hates all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak lyings. That's what that word leasing means there. Lyings, corruptness. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. I wrote a couple of things down here that I think are important. Lying is a product of deceit. It is all exposed by the truth that is found in God's word. Every mouth will be stopped at some point by Jesus, who is the word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. The more that we lean into the word of God, the more that the lies and deceit of men will be exposed. And I love living in the time that we're living in right now, because information abounds, and if you look hard enough and you study long enough, you can see this world is controlled. It's all controlled. It's all a part of the plan right now. Fauci's coming out with a new thing that he wants to push, and he's ready to just have the control that he already has in people's lives. Listen, families have been torn apart by this virus, and not because people have died, but because of choices that people have made. And we're just talking about a virus. The vaccine is in no way the mark of the beast. I get calls like that every once in a while, and people are concerned about it. And of course, you have scripture to point to that the mark of the beast is going to be an image for that man. That's not what the vaccine is. And people have made decisions about these things, but it's just brought conflict. And people have lied on both sides and have used deceit on both sides. I've heard people say, I don't listen to CNN, I listen to Fox. And then you have people say, I don't listen to Fox, I listen to CNN. Guess what? Let's listen to the BIBLE network, amen? Bible Line, we have a channel for you, check it out. Let's get... But boy, it's not about being left or being right, it's about being with the Lord. And the lying and the deceit will be stopped one day. No one will be able to say, but, and have a point. The second thing here is, I want you to see the description there, will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Man is naturally set to silence their opposition by death. Look at Cain and Abel. Look at David and Uriah. Many times, undisciplined, ungodly men will take the life of another. It happens all the time. All that is going to come to a destruction. We can't have a deceitful man in heaven. We can't have a murderous man in heaven, nor can we have one that has deceit that comes out of his mouth. But, and here we have in a part of this praise for God's holiness, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. Notice the multitude of his mercy. It's abundant. You don't have to wait and get more later. It's all available to you. In the part of the question that I'm answering tomorrow, we talk in James chapter 1 where it says, and God is able to give to them that ask liberally. It is in abundance. Give me that. And David says, that's what I will go into. I will come into the house. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. This ends the section on the praise for God's holiness, and then we have a prayer for guidance. Look at what it says here. Lead me. Lead me. Listen, you cannot be led unless you're moving. You got to be walking forward. I don't know how many times in middle school we'd have to do the pace test where we'd figure out how long it took you to run a mile. And I remember the first time in sixth grade, I was so excited to run that mile for probably about the first 10 steps. And then I realized I have to keep this going for a mile. Not excited anymore. But I tried my best to at least get the number that I thought I was going to be able to push out. My number wasn't high, but it was the best that I could do. But there were kids. And this was the first time, I'll be honest with you, that I saw open rebellion. That disobeyed the teacher on that day. They didn't dress out. They walked the track with their sodas and their chips. They just didn't care. They looked at their authority and they said, no. Listen, that's not someone that is in the position to be led. You and I need to be in a position where God can lead us. We're walking in the Spirit. He will continue to lead us. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, in his perfection, in the standing that you're in. You are righteous in the eyes of God. I know it's hard to believe because we still struggle with sin, but guys, the book says it. We're justified in him, and we stand in that position, having peace with God. Live that. You don't have to name that and claim that. It's already done. Well, I like that. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness for a reason, because of mine enemies. And we've talked about this point at length last week and the week before about David's enemies and our enemies too. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. I wonder if this sounds familiar to you. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Is that somewhere? Is this quoted somewhere in the New Testament? Sure is. Romans chapter 3, the description of man. This is what it is. And here's the imprecatory part of this prayer. Look what it says. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. I look at the solutions today, and I see people giving out their counsel, and in their wisdom, they think they're so wise. And unless they have a moment of repentance, a change of mind about what they are trusting in, they are going to be destroyed, and it's by their own counsel. Man wants to set up a utopia. We can do it without God. We've killed God, man says, and now man will reign high. Oh, they're going to destroy themselves by their own counsel, by their own meetings, to look for their success. Their demise will be brought in. You ever watch a scary movie and you're looking at the character and you're saying, don't do that. Don't go in there. No. I feel that way when I'm looking at humanity right now. Because guess what, guys? We're not a part of this world. You see how this world is setting up little landmines for itself? It's running around in circles with a string attached to its feet, and one day that string's going to pull and this whole thing's going to come falling down. David asked for that prayer. He says, destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. And the highlight here is that rebellion is the seat of wickedness. Rebellion is the first fruit of pride. This is why good parents will discipline their children when they see that rebellion. Many people are not that way, though. We don't want to address the rebellion, we'll address something else. Rebellion is the seed of wickedness. We have to be careful. And if there is rebellion in our lives, we need to pray that the Lord convicts us on it. And when we receive that conviction, we move off it and submit to Him. You ever met a rebellious man or a rebellious woman? They're hard. They're contentious. You almost have an idea that they may be violent against you. Got to be careful for rebellion. Identify it in your life and submit to God, and you will see great gain in that submission. Look at this next verse here. There's a transition as we get to the close. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. You know what this says? All those. You know what that means? Community. I hope this church never changes its name. Calvary Community Church. It's a two-part meaning in my mind. Community to reach our community, and community the body of Christ. And I love that. The last couple Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, there's been some lingering because we got babies, man. We got babies. I had lunch today and I felt so bad, but I walked in to Trent's office there and I said, hey, can I hold the baby? I sat down and held that little thing, so sweet. But Zakiah's been here too, Robert and Erica's son, and now we have Eliana. And you know what's happened just naturally? Everyone's meeting down in the hallway. And we're chatting, and sometimes we'll be here 45, 50 minutes after service. And I don't care at all, because it's sweet fellowship. It's sweet fellowship that you can't go get at the bar down here. You can't go get just watching a football game. It's wonderful fellowship, because we're all trying to do the same thing. I love it. All those that put their trust, look what this says, in thee rejoice. Why the long face? Let them ever shout for joy. Boy, are we waking up like that? Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Not in your job or your money or your friendships. Rejoice in the Lord. You see how these verses, they hit it out of the park. These are memory verses, y'all. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. That's the second time we've seen the Lord compared to a shield in these past three Psalms. You think it means something? He is our protection. And I like how this last verse says, wilt bless the righteous. Now listen, yes, you're righteous in your salvation, but you can commit unrighteousness in your action. The double-minded man is not a good thing. You say one thing and do another. You believe God partly, but you don't believe God in your actions. Give it all to him. Look, when we look to the cross for salvation, we simply had to look. We simply had to believe. That's it. That's how we start walking in the Lord too. Just believe that he's able to do what he said he's going to do. But this, but that, he knows. He knows. Trust him. Trust him. And as you walk through difficult times, yes, it will be difficult. Yes, the trials may increase. But James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. What do you think we should do? Count it all joy. And that doesn't mean it's not going to come with some tears and some hardness, because our flesh fights against that attitude. But as it says here, you're going to be blessed. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. I want the Lord's favor in my life. I want the Lord's favor for you. I can't take your hand and do it for you. Nobody can. But isn't it good to know it's available? Isn't it good to know that one of these days we're going to pass away or get raptured out of here and it's going to be all good, taken care of? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. Run that race till we see Christ. Amen? Look up here. This hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin, and my hand will represent Jesus Christ, just for this illustration. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you put your trust in the Lord? We all know that we have sin. I'm here to tell you, I'm a sinner too. What? Yes. Yes. Talk to Kyla. Not too long, though. Just a couple introductory questions, and you'll find out all that you need. We all have sin. That sin separates us from God, and we cannot work our way to heaven. The wages of sin is death. That's why what Jesus Christ did for us is so wonderful. He removed that sin, laid it upon himself. He died, and he rose again 3 days later, and he says, if you simply believe on me, you receive as a free gift everlasting life. And Colossians 1 tells us that we're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're already there the moment that you believe. So I encourage you, if you've yet to put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've yet to trust on him, please do so. Don't wait. And for those, as we continue to walk, keep walking, knowing that the Lord will protect you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'd like to ask for heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're watching on the internet, if this has not made sense to you before, maybe you've been trying us out. Maybe you've been thinking about your salvation. Maybe you're here for the first time. I want to beg, please, put your trust in the Lord. Believe on him that his death, burial, and resurrection was the full payment for your sin. Don't trust in yourself, in the religion that you were born into, or in some type of five-step plan that involves your works. Just put your trust in him, and he will give you as a free gift eternal life, and you're sealed forever. It's a done deed when it's finished. As we continue to walk into this week, please look for opportunities. Please look for time to pray. Be bold in your prayer. Know that the Lord will hear you. Father, we thank you so much. We ask that you heal those in our presence tonight which need healing. Also for those who are on the live stream and support us there. Lord, we thank you for Psalm chapter 5 and all of your word, but the wonderful promises we can see in just 12 verses. Bring us back here safely for another Sunday morning at Calvary. We pray for community.